Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone this morning. We trust that we've all come out here for the same purpose, to once again assemble ourselves together to worship God in spirit and in truth. This morning, for a short time, I'd like to talk about the subject of courage. Courage is very much like strength, which is something that I talked on a few weeks back, but we want to talk more about courage as a group or as the body of Christ instead of individually. Certainly we could go through the scriptures and point out many great examples of individual courage. We see stories throughout the Old Testament of David facing Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, and we can go on and on naming many examples of personal courage, but we want to talk about the courage that we're to have as a group, as a community, and as we said, as the church here upon the earth. We're going to find out, I think, as we look to the future. We don't know what the future holds for the earth. We don't know how much time we have upon the earth before Jesus will come again or before our lives will be taken from us. But we realize as we look out in society and in the world today that the church is going to have to become stronger and stronger in our stances against things that are contrary to the Word of God. And at some point it may even bring us into conflict with other people, because we have to stand for the truth, and we just see the morality of the country diminishing to the point where these issues are coming up that wouldn't have appeared even 20 or 30 years ago. And so as a group, as the church, as representatives of God here upon the earth, we're going to have to call upon our combined courage and the courage as we stand examples for the truth. So we're going to look at that for a while this morning. We're actually going to take quite a few scriptures from the Old Testament and try to show how they relate to the things that we do here in the New Testament, and to give us encouragement and strength and to give us the courage that we need to stand for the truth. Our text this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working there whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. As Paul writes to the church of Philippi here, he talks about unity, and this is something that we know as Christians we're to have, and through that unity we can have the strength and the courage that we need to stand. As Paul mentioned, even in this day and time as he's writing this epistle, there are those who say that they're walking for God, and in fact they're not. And as we look in the world today, we see the same thing, and we see we have to remain strong for ourselves, for those to look to us for an example, and especially for our children, that they will have strong examples to follow, and that they will realize that regardless of how things happen in the world and what the world accepts, that God is only going to accept certain things. They're the same things the day that Paul wrote this epistle as they are today. He stands for the same things, and we have to stand for those things and have the courage to do that in light of what may happen to us or what other people may think of us. Before we continue with our lesson this morning, though, we have an opportunity to go to God in prayer, remembering those that were mentioned in the announcements who need the prayers of the church, and to pray for the things that we need for our living, and, of course, to thank God for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. So before we continue any more with our lesson, won't each of you humble yourselves in some manner while the one selected leads us in prayer. We look at the word courage as we find it in the scriptures. We know that courage is a quality that all Christians should try to cultivate today. The various words of both Hebrew and Greek that are translated into the English word courage denote the idea of strength. Obviously, we know, we think about courage. We think about, again, as we mentioned, some of the stories that were mentioned previously from the Old Testament and even things in the New, some of the things that were endured by Stephen and Paul. And, of course, Jesus being an example of courage as well. He was one who was able to stop what was happening to him. He had the authority from God and power to do of his free will, but he chose not to. He had the courage to die for our sins, and he asked us to have courage as well, and it's something that we should look to add to ourselves and to help give us the strength and the determination that we need individually to find a home in heaven, and of course as a group, as the church, and as ambassadors of God, to be good examples to others, we should have desire to have the same courage as well. We know as Christians, our faith gives us the courage to face the trials and temptations that we encounter in life. As we said, the world seems to be growing worse and worse in terms of morality and the things that the everyday man, so to speak, is accepting are things that wouldn't have been accepted years ago. And these are things that we know are contrary to the Word of God, and as Christians, we have to stand for the truth, and we can't go along with everybody else and accept some of the things that are being introduced into society and the things that are being accepted by many people. And a lot of times, it's I think people are weak, and they don't stand for their convictions, and they don't believe in the things that are being people are asking them to accept, but they don't have the determination to stand for the truth or to stand for what they believe in. And it's kind of a derogatory remark, I guess, but there's a lot of people in the world who are like cattle. They're just led around by whoever will tell them where to go, and whatever they like to hear, that's what they follow. And we know that God is not going to accept people like that. He wants those who are attentive to His Word, who study His Word, who find out what His Word has to say for them to do, and then have the gumption, so to speak, to follow it. And that's the kind of people that He's looking for. And in order to be those people, we have to look to His Word to find examples of how He would have us to act. And this morning, we're going to try to glean some examples from the Old Testament, and specifically the book of Joshua, as we're speaking about courage in a group instead of individuals. We're going to look at the group that Joshua is leading here and talk a little bit about them and see how they can be examples to us today. We're now going to read from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. As we begin our reading here, we see that the children of Israel, we know that they were in the land of bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh. They were forced to be slaves and to build the great pyramids and things of this nature. And they were a downtrodden and beaten people until Moses came along and led them out of the land of Egypt. And we can read all about this in the Exodus. And we understand that it was that God chose the Jews to be His people until the time that Jesus would come. And He was going to use them for examples. And of course, some of the examples that they give us are examples of those who have fallen and drifted away from God. But as we're going to see in this particular reading, they're going to be examples to us of an exemplary of the kind of people that God wants us to be. He's talking about the River Jordan here. We know that as the Jews were led out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness. We know the story of how Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments, and they began to many of the people began to party and riot, and they forced Aaron into making a golden calf, and God was very wroth with them, and eventually He caused him to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. in the time of our scripture, we realize that Moses is over here, and he's finally led the people up to the River Jordan. They're going to cross the Jordan River, and over here they're going to find the promised land that God had promised to them, and that they would have received a long time before the time we find them here, if they had done the things that God asked them to do and stayed true to the things that that God had spoken. But it's because they disagreed with that, they wandered in the wilderness, and most of the men who left the land of Egypt died over here on this side of Jordan, except for Joshua and Caleb were the only two that were God had deemed worthy to enter into the promised land. And as we get to this point, we realize that Moses had led the people up into that point because Moses had a transgression against God. He was not allowed to enter into the promised land either. So at this point, we see that that Moses dies and that Joshua becomes the new leader of the people, and he's going to be the one to lead them over the river and into the promised land. So we'll put Joshua over here. God told Joshua that he was going to determine the boundaries of their habitation, what was going to be constituted as the land of Israel. And it's important for us to note that they didn't just walk in and take over. God expected them to work. He expected them to raise an army and to go and to conquer these people. And one of the reasons why they were stuck over here for so long is that Moses had sent spies over here into this land to see what it was like and what their opposition was going to be. And when they came back, we know that all but Joshua and Caleb were afraid. They said the armies were too big, and they didn't have the courage that God expected them to have. And they told Moses and the people that there's no way that they could go in there and to conquer that land. But Joshua and Caleb felt that they could take the land, and that's why God found them worthy, and the others were not. And because these men were willing to, they had the courage and the determination that God wanted them to have, and they desired to go with the people into that promised land. They were, I'm sure all of them were tired of wandering out here. You got to think, for 40 years they were wandering around in the desert. God had to provide manna from heaven for them to eat, and a rock from that they got the water from, and they were constantly complaining. And it was a situation that I'm sure none of them were totally comfortable with, but it all led up to something much greater than that, and that was entering into the promised land that God had said that he would give them. And of course, we can relate this today to us. Sometimes we find that we're in situations our life isn't treating us the way we think it should, and we certainly desire something better, and we know that that's the promise that heaven has for us. When we get to heaven, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, there's no more sickness, no more tears. It's a place that each and every person certainly should desire to go and be willing to work toward that end. We'll now pick up with Joshua chapter 1, picking up with verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As we mentioned earlier, we know that Moses went up into the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. He received the law that God was going to govern his people by. And it was a law that we realize as we begin to continue to study the Old Testament that many times the Jews rebelled against. It was just too much for them. And we find even in the time when Jesus came upon the earth, the Jews were a very restless and unhappy people. And they felt constrained by the many things that had been added over the generations to the law of Moses and the ordinances and the observing of holy days and things of this nature. So many times these people who should have been grateful to God and thankful for the things that he had done for them, instead they rebelled against him, and they felt hampered and constrained by the laws that he had put upon them. And of course, he did this. It was for their own good, so to speak. And of course, in the world today, many people would be wise to think about that and realize that if people lived according to the things that God would tell them, that a lot of the problems that we have in the world today wouldn't exist. A lot of the things that this country was founded on were based on things from the scriptures. And we see where people in the world today, especially lawyers, have been able to twist some of this stuff so that wrong is right and right is wrong. And it's totally getting things turned around. But we know that God's way is always the right way. And as long as the Jews follow the laws and the ordinances that were given to Moses, they were all right in the sight of God and God blessed them. But we know many times he allowed them to be taken into bondage because they refused to do the things that he had given them and the things that he had told them to do. Joshua chapter 1, now picking up at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass thou through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. We see here Joshua goes and talks to the tribes of Reuben and Gad, and we'll put them over here. These were two tribes who primarily raised cattle. And when they finally got to this side of the Jordan and were getting ready to cross over, they liked the way the land looked. They thought it was very good for cattle. It suited the needs of how they made their living. And they went to Moses and desired of him that they be allowed to stay on this side of the Jordan. And you can read about that in the book of Numbers. In chapter 32, we won't go into that this morning, but if you would, on your own time, take a look at that, you'll see where all these things came to pass. That Reuben and Gad, and we know that Manasseh was a son of Joseph, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and half of that tribe also stayed on this side of the Jordan. However, if you look at Numbers chapter 32, you'll see where Moses, When these tribes asked if they could stay here, told them that that was fine, but that they would have to help their brethren to take the promised land. So just as they promised to Moses when Joshua told them that they were preparing to cross over, all the men of these two tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh left their families and all their goods and possessions on this side, and they crossed the Jordan with everyone else and helped them fight to take the cities that God had promised unto them. Again, signifying to us the importance of working together. As the children of God, it is important for us to have unity, and we find strength in unity, just as the army of Israel in this situation found strength in all the people participating together. The church today is the same way. As individuals, we need to have strength as families, and certainly as a congregation that meets in this place, we need to have strength, and then we need to be able to bond together with other congregations to do the good things that we can do to spread the gospel throughout the world and helping with missionary works or helping congregations that are in need for various reasons. This is a way that we can all work together toward the spreading of gospel and the upbuilding of the church throughout the world. We also see that it was a very good example that was set for us that these men were willing to make good on the promise that they had made, because we see, again, many times throughout the world, throughout the study of the Scriptures, and even in the world today, that a lot of times people will make us promises that they're not willing to keep. And we know that there's one person or one individual that we can trust, and that's God. God is always going to keep His promises. What He's told us in the Word is going to happen, and we can count on that. And then we need to decide to live our lives accordingly. If we decide to follow that, we realize the reward that we'll receive. If we don't, we realize the punishment we're going to have to accept as well. The last verse of Joshua chapter 1, verse 18, "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Here again, encourages everyone to have good courage, to be strong, and to do the things that God would have them to do, because in those days, under the law of Moses, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, there were many things that you could be taken outside the city and stoned for. Your life would be required of you, and there was no arbitration or no lawyer that could get you off. If you disobeyed the law, and the law, the penalty was death, you were taken outside the city and stoned. And maybe if we had that kind of punishment today, people would be a little more hesitant to do the bad and evil things that they do. But we know that all things that we do that are contrary to the Word of God are going to be counted against us. We may not suffer for them now, but if we don't make them right in the sight of God, we will suffer for them in the life to come. We also see here that the people have all now accepted Joshua. They look upon him as God's authority upon the earth. And we know that Joshua was a good example throughout his life of one who had great faith and conviction in the things that God taught him and told him to do, and that he did all those things, and he was a great role model then, even as he is today. We look to him and the example that he set forth as something that encourages us as Christians. Now, for a short time, we want to look at a couple of these things and relate them to how we are in the church today. We can replace Moses here with Jesus. We realize when Jesus came upon the earth that he came here to spread the gospel, the good news, and to institute a new way for God to interact with man so that all men may have a chance of everlasting life and not just the children of Israel. And just as Moses led the children of Israel to the River Jordan, we know that Jesus led the people to a certain point as well. We know that Jesus, before he began his ministry, went down to the same river, the River Jordan. That's where he was baptized of John. And we realize it wasn't a baptism for the remission of sins like we have today, but it was the baptism of repentance. And that's what John was down here at the river. That's what he was doing. All these people who had crossed over the river over here had forgotten a lot of the things that God had told them to do, and they weren't living the way that God expected, and they weren't living in a way that they could recognize Jesus as the Messiah that they had been promised. And that's why John was down here in the river trying to bring people to repentance of the way they had been living, get them back in line with the things that the law taught them and the prophets, so that they could recognize Jesus as who he was, the Son of God. We realize that after Jesus died, we go to the book of Acts, and we see where Peter, on the day of Pentecost, after the apostles had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, went out and taught a sermon, and almost 3,000 souls were converted to Christianity. They were all baptized, not for repentance now, but for remission of sins, and that was the beginning of the church. And so we see that Peter was not, he was not appointed as the leader. Certainly the other apostles and disciples who taught along with him, John, James, later Paul, all were instrumental in building the church, and it was all, and they were all on the other side here, building the church that Jesus died for. It was only through Jesus' death that it was possible for any of this to happen, because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He fulfilled this law and established the New Testament, and we know that that's what we live under today. And we no longer have the tables of stone But we have a book that we know is the New Testament. We can certainly go back and look at the Old Testament for examples such as this to learn from and to encourage us and to realize the plan that God had for man before that point. But we know now that we live by the New Testament and the things that the New Testament teaches. And these were all principles that were taught by Jesus and later confirmed by Peter and the other apostles and all those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the things that we have in the New Testament today. Another way that we can look at this also is to realize we can look at the River Jordan as death. Many times in some of the songs that we sing, dying and going off to the promised land of heaven is looked at as crossing the River Jordan. And we realize that once we cross over, we can't go back. We can't go back and change anything that we've done after we've died and been separated from this life. These people, we realize, when they came over and helped fight the Amorites and the Hittites and all the people that were in the promised land that were driven out so the Israelites could occupy it, when their work was done, they went back over here to their families. They were drawn back out of the promised land by the things that they had over there. And again, this is another example to us to realize that we can come into the church, but we can be drawn back away from it if we put too much of our trust and our desires in the things of the world and not the things that God would have us to do as members of the church. If we're if we're allowed to be pulled back over there, we may end up losing our lives there, so to speak, or departing from this life and be in good standing with God, and certainly that's a place that none of us want to find ourselves. The last thing we'd like to look at today is some of the commands that God made unto the children of Israel on the day that we read about in the book of Joshua. There were several things that he told them that he wanted them to do, and there's certainly we can relate these to the way that we're to be today as ambassadors of God here upon the earth. One of the things he told them to do was to go over. He wanted them to go over the Jordan. He wanted them to go into the land that he had promised them. Just as today, he wants us to go over Jordan metaphorically. He wants us to be baptized. As we see in John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't want anyone to suffer an eternity in torment for the way that they've lived. But he gives each and every one of us a free will. It's up to us to decide whether we want to do undertake the same things the Jews did when they came over here. Because when they crossed over the river, they knew they weren't just coming over here and going to move in and everything was going to be all right. They knew they had to work. And that's the same thing God expects of us today. Once we're baptized, certainly all of our sins are washed away. But that doesn't mean that we can just sit there and wait for Jesus to come back or for our life to end and everything's going to be all right. He expects us to work. And we find that throughout the New Testament where we're encouraged to work and to do the things that will upbuild his cause and kingdom here upon the earth. God also encouraged the children of Israel to be strong. And again, this is something that we're trying to emphasize today by this example is we as Christians today, both as individuals and as a group, need to be strong. We need to stand for the truth. We need to let people know what our stand is on issues of life so that they understand where we're coming from. And again, it's to try to encourage people to pick up the Bible and read it for themselves. We can't force anyone to live the way that God wants them to live, and he doesn't expect us to do that, but he does expect us to be examples and to encourage other people to embrace the same way of life that we have. And it's important and vital for us to be strong in our convictions and to show forth what we believe so that we will be of good example to other people. He also encouraged them to be of good courage. Again, to be strong, to have the courage to face adversity. Sometimes we're going to get involved in conversations with people. Our views are going to be different than theirs. And we have to have the courage to speak up and tell people what we feel and what we believe. In order to make our convictions known unto them, and again, to try to encourage people to see the truth. So many people today don't want to embrace the truth. They think the truth is whatever they see or feel, And they don't accept the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, and it's His truth that we should pledge allegiance to and no one else's. He also encouraged them to observe to do. Again, speaking of the law, all the things that the law told them, he encourages them to observe it and to do it. And, of course, this reflects with us today with the New Testament. We certainly should read it. We should study it. We should realize what it tells us to do, what it tells us not to do, and we should observe and do those things. Knowing it's one thing and doing it is something else, and that's important for us to always remember that we need to observe and to do. He also encourages them not to depart, not to depart from the things that they know are right, not to, as these people, Moses gave them this land, and they were certainly entitled to go back to that land, but it's an example for us today to realize that once we become a Christian, we shouldn't let the things of life draw us back away from the truth. And sometimes this is hard to do, and we probably lose more people, especially people that are converted to Christianity from outside the church. This is one of the ways that we lose so many of them, because the things that they had before are the people that they're associated with, or the things that they had or desired become too strong. And we see even in the New Testament, we can read places where those that were, especially the Gentiles that were converted from paganism, many times the allure of that lifestyle would start dragging them back. And we even see cases where some who had been converted departed and walked the Christian way no more. And we certainly don't want to be a part of that. And we want to help all of those who have decided to become Christians to refrain from doing that as well. He also encouraged them to meditate. Again, meditate on the law and the things that the law has taught. Meditate on where they had been. Many of them that went into the promised land, the Jews, were born in the wilderness. They didn't know anything else but wandering around in the desert. And many times we face adverse things in life, and certainly we should we shouldn't dwell on them, but we should reflect on them and realize that now we may be in a better place than we were, certainly spiritually. If we become a Christian and are endeavoring to live the Christian life, we should meditate on the fact that we were once in a state of that we didn't have salvation, and now that we are, we should meditate on that and be thankful of that, and let that experience help us to help others. He also encouraged them to be not afraid. Again, this goes along with being, we think of associate courage with bravery, but again, he encouraged them not to be afraid of the things that they were going to face. They were going to face a lot of adversity when they got over here. There were a lot of enemies over here who would desire to defeat them. There are a lot of things that they were going to be influenced by, as we see later on in the Old Testament. A lot of the lifestyle of the Amorites and some of these other countries and kingdoms over here influenced the Jews in negative ways. That's why they desired to have a king. They saw all these other countries had a king, and they thought, well, they have a king, we want a king also. And we see, we read in the scriptures the trouble that caused the Jews. Again, this is something that he encouraged them to be not afraid of the things that were around them, but to be strong in the faith. He also told them to be not dismayed. They shouldn't be unbelieving. Many times in the world today, we see people who just, unless you can show them some kind of a sign, they refuse to believe. And even in the days of Jesus, they were like this. When Jesus was arrested, they desired some miracle of him, and he refused to do it because that was not part of God's plan. Many people are dismayed by the things that go on in the world today, and a lot of people like to blame God or think that God should be down here fixing every little wrong. And we read in the book of Matthew where Jesus said that the rain falls on the good and the evil, and on the just and the unjust, and these things are going to happen. And if we read and study the Word of God, we won't be dismayed by things that happen. We realize that everything that happens is part of God's plan, and in order to be part of that and to observe the things that He would have us to do, we need to study, and then we won't be confused by the things that go on. Certainly we wonder sometimes why things happen, but when we realize that God is in control, it gives us courage. And finally, God encouraged the children of Israel to remember. And this goes, again, along with meditating. Remember where they had been. Remember the sorry lot that they had found themselves in when they were wandering in the wilderness. And, of course, we can equate this today with many people. We know many people in the world. I'm sure each of us knows somebody who's wandering out here. They're lost. They don't know what the direction to go in life. They're not sure about anything. And if we remember that when we were in that state, as all of us have probably found ourselves there at one time or another, we remember what helped us get out of it, and then we can help other people as well. And the idea here is we look at these commands that God gave the children of Israel, is we can see that all these things are things that they could do together and to help one another, because not everybody's going to have the same strengths and weaknesses. And when people band together and work together and help each other, they all become stronger. And that's the idea that he wants us to have in the church today. That's the idea of fellowship. That's the idea of assembling ourselves together. That's why that example was set for us, so that we could gather together and worship together and fellowship together and work together, and so that we all may become stronger and that we all may have a better chance of obtaining a home in heaven. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson this morning. As always, we offer the services of the church. There may be some who find themselves still out here wandering in the wilderness. And we realize that that the call of the Jordan is baptism. And we realize that that's the steps of salvation that we have to take in order to become a Christian. If we believe the things that we've heard, we repent of the life that we've lived that's contrary to the Word of God, we confess that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we can be baptized. We don't have to be baptized in the Jordan. The baptism is a submersion. You're totally submersed under the water. You come up out of the water, a new creature in the sight of God. All the things you've done on this side of your life are forgotten, and you come over here, and you, just as they were in a new land, when they crossed the Jordan, you become a new creature in the sight of God, and you can begin anew and work towards obtaining a home in heaven. Also, we know that God's plan, he knows that sometimes we're going to cross back over here, and he gives us a way through prayer that the sins that we have committed can be forgiven through the prayers of the brethren. And we offer the services of the church. Won't you come while we stand and sing?